Happy Lord's Day. If you'd be so kind as to place your phone on silent or turn it off if you'd like before we start. Alrighty. What a joyous day today is. We are certainly blessed. When we consider how far God has come to each of us, how He is constantly and consistently and mercifully blessed us, we know that all those good things come from Him. So today I would like to talk about that we should fill our spirit with God's goodness. Fill our spirit with God's goodness. Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 states, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has plans for us. We're not to be stagnant. We're not to be complacent. We're supposed to be working for His glory. Scripture needs to be read and reread, not rewritten. Let's look to the book of life. It is what Christians should do. It is what every Christian needs to do. If it's been more than a day since you had your last scripture reading, then it's been too long. For in reading the scripture, we are blessed in discovering God's guidance, His direction, His wondrous mercies, and our purpose, our individual responsibilities in serving Him. And in reading His Word, it will help each of us, young and old, it will help each of us to comprehend who our Creator is. It's love letters to us, I like to think. My wife and I have been together a few years. And in the military, we were separated. And how valuable those letters were. When we're there at mail call, and they're saying, Sergeant James, Sergeant Jerry, Sergeant Basil Dua, come get your mail. Great anticipation. Find out what's going on. We should have that same kind of desire in reading His Word. His Word tells us He loves us. He tells us how we need to be, how we should be, and how you can get there. When we read and reread His Word, we may start to get a deeper insight and a clearer understanding on a more meaningful level, which is personal. God wants a personal relationship with each of us. And He is our only sovereign God. Most of us, since we last gathered together, the question needs to be asked. How is your prayer life? Is it something that you're doing consistently, meaningfully, Are you praying for the Lord's church and for each other? Is your prayer life more substantial? Is your prayer life more mature now than it was from last week? Another aspect of a Christian life that we find in Scripture, this attribute of what do we fill ourselves up with? You probably have heard the saying, you are what you eat. Well, there are many of us who may have had way too many Twinkies, burritos, tacos, snickerdoodles, etc. Gentlemen, if we are honest with ourselves, we may find ourselves in conflict when we have cravings for Mrs. Butterworth, Little Debbie, Betty Crocker, Mrs. Smith. Now, ladies, if we are honest with ourselves, you may find yourselves in conflict as well when you have cravings for the likes of Hershey's, Chef Boyardee, Ben and Jerry's. And we all know how hard it may be to resist that little elf, Keebler. Truth be told, we all need to have self-control. And we need to eat healthy to be healthy. We may just find ourselves in conflict between good and bad. As we get older, by the way, that's all of us, even our young people. As we get older, and by the way, that's all of us, and that's by God's grace alone, we're all more than likely will get the talk from the doctor telling you that you need to eat better. No more snickerdoodles. Eat healthy. Eat vegetables and greens, even if the vegetable has a strange name. Artichoke. That's a strange name. So what you eat affects your body in a lot of ways. What you eat affects your blood sugar. Blood sugar levels. Who knew? Only when something is out of balance in your body and when your body is hurting or suffering, well, you are hurting and suffering. Then you are made aware of how important it is to have the right foods and levels so that you are no longer in pain. And to a large degree, we all can agree to that. You are impacted by what you eat. It's relevant. It's important. We also need to realize not only what we eat, but to a larger degree, we are what we see. We are what we listen to. We are what we participate in and in what we do. We all need to understand how important it is when eating the good stuff, how vital it is to our well-being. Better to learn that sooner than later. I know a lot of people who wish they could go back in time. I think that's a lot of us. And would have done something that would be better for us sooner. But today's that day. Your choice. You make the difference now. We are all getting older. Well, and by the way, we're all also one day closer to meeting our Lord. As we've had privilege to hear today, our brothers and sisters earlier this week, are there now. We are all getting closer. It's going to happen. It will happen. You're not exempt. We don't get out of this alive. And I'm not scared. We should and must strive to take care of our physical bodies as best as we can, so our days on earth will be good ones. But more importantly, we need to take care of our spiritual souls so that life in eternity will be a good one as well. So we must ask ourselves the spiritual question, how do we treat our spirit? In 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 23, the New International Version, where it states, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you fill yourselves up with? And in answering that important question, we will learn a great deal of how we take care of ourselves. Hold on to the good. How you conduct yourself will have eternal consequences. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Again, that's God speaking. It's not Chuck speaking. It is written for our own benefit, so we may understand that there are consequences for our actions. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from sinful nature, will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, if we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let's review the latter part of verse 8. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So what do we fill ourselves up with? Is it the good stuff or the bad stuff? In Galatians 5, 13 through 25, where it states, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. So that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The good stuff for your spirit and for yourself is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The bad stuff, the acts of the sinful nature, are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness. It's spelled out. It's spelled out so that we have no doubt. If you have any of that in any measure, it's bad. It is bad. It's kind of like when your sweetheart or at the bakery, you're going to get yourself a nice, beautiful lemon pound cake with the glaze on top. How much arsenic are you willing to accept in that pound cake? Even though it's beautiful, it's baked to perfection, it's got a nice glaze, but it has some amount of arsenic. Of course we're not. If you have any of this stuff in you, that's how you, if you conduct yourself with rage, envy, bitterness, malice, that's bad. Any amount is bad. So what are you filling your spirit and soul with? Bad things affect the body. We need to check ourselves. Anger, fits of rage. Some may call that road rage. Is that self-control? As God's children, may we never do that. You're responsible for your actions, no matter what happens around you. You are responsible. Fill yourself with the good stuff, and it's easy to do. Second Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 12. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-suppressing power is from God and not from us. We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that this life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Even though that these words were written long ago, it sure seems like not much has changed in some ways. Hard-pressed, perplexed, struck down. I'm sure that all of us have felt that in our lives one time or another. But the good stuff is knowing that you're not crushed. You're not in despair. You're not abandoned. You're not destroyed. Fill yourself with the good stuff. Realize that these words are written there for our knowledge. Keep it in you. Embrace it. Love it. Know that you're cared for. You're loved. We are all loved by God's grace. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 9. Where it states, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or darkness. Well, so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact as you are doing." So that's some more good stuff. Faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation. Encouragement from each other, and the building up of each other. Again, that's one of the many blessings of congregating with our brothers and sisters. It's that friendly hug, warm handshake, an embrace, a kind word can make a big difference in someone's life at that moment. And not only just within these walls, but if you carry that with you when you walk out of these walls, you may have that same impact of encouragement, of uplifting, of some brighten somebody's day by what you do to the checkout clerk, to the person at the gas pump, to everyone that you meet. If you have a smile, a kind smile, and a nice word to say, it would help make this world a better place. That's good stuff for the soul. Good stuff for all of us. Fill yourself with the good stuff. It's your choice. It's your choice. Choose wisely. Stand firm. Stay the course. Philippians 4:4-8, where it states, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That is more good stuff. These are the things we should strive to fill ourselves up with, not negativity. Don't become Eeyore. When you come into a room, you just extinguish joy and happiness. Don't be that person. We shouldn't be that person. Yes, we're going to have bad days. It's going to happen. We're going to have things that we're going to be distraught about. It's going to happen. The point being, you don't stay there. You don't create a hammock and stay and wallow in negativity. that's going to tear you up. And by the way, everyone else you meet. We should have an air of positivity, of encouragement, of joy, happiness. All the good stuff that the Lord has provided unto us, we should radiate. Because it is what we think on. It is what we dwell on. It is what we hope for. It is what we hunger for. It is what we want. And as we have gotten older, if we look back in our lives, how can we not see and realize and come to the understanding that God, in His mercy and His love and His kindness, has brought you to this day? And how dare you think that He's not going to be in your tomorrow? He's already there. Time does not constrain Him. You do. But what you keep in your head, about what you act, about what you say, what's in your heart? Is it what God wants? Is what you have in your heart, is what God wants you to have? The joy, the happiness, the understanding, the responsibility, self-control. All of it. Dwell on the good stuff. This is but a short, brief snapshot of what He wants for all of us. That's why the encouragement is sent out in the very beginning. Read the scriptures. Reread it till you get it. If you don't understand, there are many here who will be glad to assist you. Because some of this stuff is hard to wrap your head on. But it's there for our benefit. Don't dwell on a negative. We're made aware of it by watching TV. And so many people will let that take their joy away. That should never be replaced with what God has put into you. What God wants in you is that realization that He's God. Fill yourselves with the good things. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly place in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. Do we find ourselves unappreciative of the gifts that we received? Are we childlike in our Christian attitude? We've seen it, that you got a pretty package wrapped up, and you went to great expense, time, to go get this package for a child's birthday, and you're waiting with great anticipation to see that what you're hoping will be a great smile on the child's face, excitement, joy when they open it up. And then you're there, the moments come, they tear it open, they pull it out, and then the child said, "I wanted the blue one." We find ourselves ungrateful for what God has provided. We have to check ourselves. We'll give an answer. May we not be that way. May we be grateful for what God has done in whatever measure, in accordance to His time. It is good. That's the good stuff. I'm going to go back to verse 8. Going to try to absorb what was written. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves. It is a gift of God. A gift from God. God Himself. Wrap your head around that. That's the good stuff. And finally, Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Where it states, Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me. And whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for the Lord's church. Pray for each other. Pray for me. The Lord's invitation is available to all. We got to hear His word. Believe His word. Confess our sins. Confirm Him as our Savior, be baptized, and live for Him. The invitation is open for all as we stand together and sing.